is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Friday, October 10th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here are tonight's top stories.
Tonight, what's happening to potential Ebola victims on America's border? Then, recent shootings stoke conflict in Ferguson, and the NSA's monopoly on information. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
The NSA is there to kill freedom. The NSA is there to bring in Agenda 21. The NSA is there with these giant computer programs.
A former Border Patrol agent has come forward to say that the CDC is working with Border Patrol authorities as well as the DHS to disappear potential Ebola victims who are attempting to cross the border into the United States.
This Center for Disease Control and Prevention is in charge of the screening with the U.S. Public Health Service. I've never seen the CDC or U.S. Public Health Service work together with the Border Patrol at the border, ever. The agents are telling us that they're seeing some people that are obviously sick, with shivering type illnesses, with possibly dehydrating illnesses like diarrhea and vomiting. But those people are disappearing. We don't know what they have, where they're going, where they're taking them. Surely they're being quarantined somewhere. We just don't know where. And even the agents don't know what the diagnosis is of these illnesses.
Now, that interview with Taylor, who is a 27-year Border Patrol veteran, actually took place in July, but coming up in the extended overdrive version of the show tonight for all of you Prison Planet subscribers, Paul Joseph Watson sits down and interviews Zach Taylor for an extended interview. But InfoWars has separately confirmed through additional sources that this process was ongoing even up and until and through the aftermath of America's first case of Ebola, which occurred in Dallas just last week. Now, Dr. Edward Group spoke to senior Border Patrol sources at a recent medical conference who told him that teams of officials in hazmat suits and vans were involved in the operation. And here is Dr. Group speaking with Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show today.
Go through what the Border Patrol told you first, what these senior agents told you, and then get into the whole list.
Well, I was shown a video of the guy that was talking about what's going on down at the border, and these guys know and have connections down there, and what they're saying is that people are being, that anybody with Ebola-like...
They were confirming, Taylor.
They were confirming that never before has the CDC and the National Institute of Health worked so closely with Border Patrol, and that they were down there grabbing individuals and putting them in vans and taking them to a quarantine location. And at that location, basically nobody knows where they were taking them to. Nobody knows what they're doing with them. I mean, are they trying experimental vaccines on them? Are they, you know, taking their blood? Are they, I mean, who knows what's going on?
And we were initially called fear mongers for saying this, but now, yes, U.S. officials are warning that indeed Ebola could come into the U.S. through the open southern border. This is the head of the U.S. Southern Command, and it's the branch of the U.S. military that's responsible for all U.S. military activities in South America and Central America. And he says there is no way that we can keep Ebola in West Africa.
If Ebola breaks out in Haiti or in Central America, I think it is literally Katie bar the door in terms of the mass migration of Central Americans into the United States. 68,000 children essentially wandered across our border this year. They get into the country pretty much unimpeded. So these populations will move to either run away from Ebola, or if they have been or in the fear of having been infected, to get to the United States will be taken care of.
So that was the head of the U.S. Southern Command saying this is indeed a very serious issue. But now we've got a CDC that refuses to shut down flights. It doesn't recommend securing the border. Meanwhile, a man was pulled off a U.S. Airways flight for simply making a joke that he had Ebola. And, of course, they entered in hazmat suits to remove this man. He's unidentified as of the time of this report, and he reportedly yelled, "I have Ebola, and you are all screwed." And he is also thought to have shouted, "I've been to Africa," while coughing loudly. Obviously, he's making a very poor joke, but as you can see in the video, agents enter this plane in hazmat suits, full-on hazmat suits. The other passengers are giggling sort of nervously as they all record the incident. And after they took this man off of the plane, the rest of the passengers were held on that plane for 2 hours while he was inspected, and he was eventually given the all clear. But obviously this was clearly an overreaction to what was a very bad joke by this person, but it demonstrates how seriously some countries are taking this Ebola outbreak, even as we're dealing with a president here and a lackluster response from the administration. Now, Obama was speaking in a video message to residents of the Ebola-stricken nations in West Africa, and he was doling out advice on how residents can avoid the disease, saying, "You cannot get it through casual contact, like sitting next to someone on a bus." Now, this is completely contradictory to what the Centers for Disease Control is saying, and obviously those men entering the plane in hazmat suits, what they're saying, advising Americans who travel to the Ebola-stricken nations to avoid public transportation. In addition to telling travelers who begin to exhibit possible Ebola symptoms to avoid public transportation, the CDC says a person may contract Ebola if he or she spends a long amount of time within 3 feet of a person who is sick with Ebola. So obviously, these are some pretty ridiculous contradictions here. They're saying it's not airborne. You can't get it by sitting next to someone on the bus or by sitting next to someone on a plane. And then meanwhile, the CDC is putting this message out that indeed, you can possibly get Ebola just by sitting next to someone for an extended period of time. And of course, they're telling everyone it's perfectly safe. Go ahead and get on that plane and fly with them while they are themselves entering the plane in full-on at hazmat suits. Now, even though, once again, we recalled conspiracy theorists for reporting on the fact that thousands of coffin liners were purchased by the CDC years ago and they were being stored in Madison, Georgia, now the CDC has come out. They found a use for all those coffin liners. The CDC has mandated hermetically sealed caskets for Ebola victims. A Yahoo News report reveals how the CDC is instructing funeral homes that remains should be cremated or buried promptly in a hermetically sealed casket, which must be secure against the escape of microorganisms, and they want to make sure it has valid documentation for being airtight. And of course, this is in addition to the CDC issuing a 3-page list of recommendations which warned funeral home workers not to carry out autopsies or to embalm corpses. And of course, we broke that here just days after that first Ebola victim was announced in Dallas. So isn't it convenient that they had already had purchased all of these coffin liners? Very, very convenient. They found a use for them. Now it'll just be interesting to see what sort of a use they have for those really large ammo purchases that they really didn't have a very good and valid explanation for. Now, coming up, more violence is expected in Ferguson over the weekend. As organizers in Ferguson, Missouri are calling for a weekend of resistance, the state is once again activating the militarized police. Will we see some more confrontation?
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency, Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Should we expect more confrontation and violence in Ferguson, Missouri over the weekend? Activists there are calling for a weekend of resistance. Now, this is in the wake of another police killing of a black teenager. Now, the Ferguson October website states that the effort is intended to build momentum for a nationwide movement against police violence. They're going to have marches, teach-ins, panel discussions, and a candlelight vigil. Organizers expect thousands to show up, and they do not advocate any violence. But of course, considering what happened in August, cops are preparing for a violent repeat. The Ferguson mayor said that law enforcement is preparing for large crowds and violence, and they have activated an emergency center to coordinate efforts. Now, last night, the streets of Ferguson, Missouri were literally on fire. Protesters there were calling for the death of Officer Darren Wilson. So these protests are already getting a little bit heated. The protesters there were vandalizing homes. They committed assaults, blocked traffic, and some reportedly threw knives at police. Now, this is after another black teen was shot on Wednesday. Now, details of this particular incident indicate that the shooting was justified. However, that didn't deter these particular crowds. Protesters were marching through wealthy white neighborhoods, according to a USA Today reporter. There's also pictures of them burning the U.S. flag. So basically, these people are very upset. They do not feel represented. They're very mad. And I guess without even hearing all of the details of this particular incident, people instantly took to the streets. It went on all through the night. Violence and unrest, of course, is not going to change anything until we get some new people in power. It's not going to be the path to find justice. And you're not going to find peace by creating the very injustice that you're fighting for. Now, Senator Rand Paul has visited Ferguson, Missouri today. He was there ahead of this fresh round of protests. This is the first potential 2016 contender to visit the city. And Paul met with civil rights leaders today and stated his concerns about long prison sentences for nonviolent crimes, the loss of voting rights for felons, and military programs to give unused equipment to local police departments. Paul said, "I wanted to find out what we could do to make the situation better." So it'll be interesting to see how these residents react to getting a chance to see a lawmaker who seems to have their back and be really concerned about the fact that the police here in America are being militarized. And of course, hopefully his visit will show them that people are listening. Lawmakers are ready to stand up and do something in the name of justice. And of course, Rand Paul is not going to be there race baiting like some of the other people who showed up promptly there in Ferguson. Coming up, even when the NSA releases information about itself, it still claims that that intel is classified. And then we're going to get to the bottom of all the weird perverts behind the Jennifer Lawrence nudie pics scandal. And then our own Paul Joseph Watson sits down and interviews Zach Taylor, former Border Patrol agent, who warns about the potentiality of Ebola to cross the border.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your Oxy powder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Here at InfoWars, we deal with a lot of sensitive information, and to retrieve said information, we often have to go through the public information officer. But don't let the name fool you. It's been my personal experience, as well as the rest of the crew, that the public information officer's job is to give you as little information as possible.
You know what's going on up there, and you won't talk to people, you don't even have a prepared statement? Shame on you. You're criminals. That's a bunch of bullshit. They know what's going on at the Bundy Ranch, and they won't even let a personal information officer, a police information officer, give us any information.
And the people over at Wired.com figured this out as well when they recently tried to retrieve some information from the NSA. They have the article out, NSA Mindbender. We won't tell you what info we already leaked to the media. Who would have thought that trying to obtain information about the information the agency had already given out would lead to such a brick wall? That's what happened when the Federation of American Scientists filed a FOIA request with the Defense Department, which is part of the NSA, earlier this year, seeking information about any authorized leaks of intelligence made to the media during the previous 12 months. The response they got, the document responsive to your request has been reviewed by the agency as required by the Freedom of Information Act and has been found to be currently and properly classified in accordance with Executive Order 13526. Which is to say, we won't tell you what information we already put out about ourselves. This is the complete joke of dealing with the government. Whether it's a very simple request of something like a police report, how many bullets were shot, surveillance footage, they don't want to give you that. And even the National Security Agency, who Joe Big Show the report, is even spying on you through your phone.
All right, so you get your Android device, wherever your settings button is, click on that settings button. Go to general, scroll all the way down to the bottom to wherever it says about device. Then you're going to go to legal information, open sources, licenses. It says you agree that this software is a non-commercially developed program that may contain bugs, and the NSA makes no and hereby expressly disclaims all warranties. Also goes on to says that the NSA will not be liable for any loss of profits or loss of data.
So these guys have these huge NSA data hubs. They won't let you inside. And when you request information, you get these bland responses. If it wasn't for guys like Edward Snowden and Benny, we would never get this intel. But you can get this information and so much more at InfoWars.com.
That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war.
Jennifer Lawrence finally spoke out about that celebrity photo hacking scandal, calling it a sex crime and shaming anyone who participated in the sharing of those images. Now, Lawrence says that she has no apologies for taking nude selfies, and she shouldn't. It's not a crime. But where are all the outcries from these celebrities when it comes to government surveillance? Hello, the NSA is doing the exact same thing. We've reported extensively about NSA agents watching you through your laptop cameras, siphoning off your nudie pics, and then sharing them around the office. Edward Snowden said that this is just one of the perks of working in surveillance. And let's not forget that the police use the very same software that's used by hackers to gain access to your private data as well. But instead of focusing on government crime and unconstitutional surveillance, celebrities are calling out for even tighter restrictions on the internet. Yay! Punish us for our freedoms!
USA! USA!
Let's take a look at some of the sex criminals in our very own government. The same people that Jennifer Lawrence is asking to help investigate these hackers. Top DHS cop sues former DHS chief alleging employee discrimination against straight males. The lawsuit alleges that Napolitano's hand-picked chief of staff demanded a male ICE special agent engage in oral sex with her. And here's another one. The TSA is hiring criminals and sexual predators without even giving background checks. Theft, child molestation, rape, prostitution, and murder, these are just a few of the crimes with which TSA employees have been charged in recent years. So when you see images of TSA agents patting down little kids, remember, it's for your freedom. Federal workers admit watching porn at work out of boredom. Government employees spent hours gawking at porn and in some cases engaging in cyber sex. And how much do you want to bet that some of these same government workers were enjoying nude pictures of Jennifer Lawrence while on the clock? Now, I'm not saying that the feds don't do their fair share of busting actual sexual deviants. Here, let's look at this. The FBI rescues 79 children being held as sex slaves across the U.S. FBI raid rescues 168 child sex slaves on U.S. soil. And in these cases, the FBI was also able to shut down hundreds of pimps that were involved in this sex trafficking. But of course, these were low-level pimps being taken down by the FBI. The focus is always on the minions, but there are some high-level sex criminals in our very own government. But the news is that the Secret Service is buying hookers. It's not the fact that there were underage hookers being shipped into the George Bush White House. And of course, there's Michael Aquino. He was a very high-level operative at the NSA in the Army's Psych Warfare Division. And of course, he's the founder of a large satanic cult, the Temple of Set. Now, Aquino and his wife Lilith and others were charged with conducting a satanic child molestation ring. They operated it at the Presidio Army Base Daycare Center. It was found that over 60 children had been molested, a number of whom had contracted venereal diseases. But of course, all the charges were eventually dropped. And of course, there's DynCorp and Halliburton. Both were exposed for having been involved in the buying and selling of young women and children into sex slavery. But that hasn't stopped either of them from still getting large government contracts. Now here's a good one from the Common Sense Show. Child sex trafficking and the Oklahoma state government. They say many children are going missing from Child Protective Services all across the country, and there's no record of what has happened to thousands of missing children. In Oklahoma, 78 children in custody have gone completely missing with no explanation. The agency said they've made no mistakes, and they insist that all 78 missing children should just be considered to be runaways and that they haven't been abducted. So first of all, how would they know that if these children are missing? And secondly, if these kids had run away from their parents, there'd be hell to pay and they'd be taken from the parents and put in Child Protective Services. Oh, the irony. Now continuing on, we have convicted pedophile Jerry Sandusky. He pimped kids out of his Second Mile Foundation in an elite sex ring. The Second Mile Foundation was recognized as one of President Bush's top 1,000 points of light. Former President George H.W. Pappy Bush is no stranger to accusations of pedophilia, as evidenced by this front page news. And don't even question the trail of dead and missing who were just investigating the Second Mile and other government agencies who procure their underage victims by making them wards of the state. Kind of like former Georgia State Senator Nancy Schaefer and her husband, who were mysteriously suicided in 2010 on the very same day that she was to speak out on the Alex Jones Show. So celebrities, go ahead. Keep on taking your nudie pics. It's America. It's a free country. But what you should be doing is using your celebrity status to call out the real sex criminals in our own government.
The whole aim of Newspeak is to narrow the range of thought. In the end, we'll make thought crime literally impossible because there'll be no words to express it.
But even now, there's no excuse for thought crime. It's just a question of reality control, of self-discipline.
When Newspeak is perfect and compulsory, there won't be the need even for that. The revolution will be complete. For 70 years or so, there'll be nobody alive who could possibly understand this conversation we're having.
But except
the proles. They're not human.
The trend towards mass media's hold on the American mind is losing its grip. Gallup polls show that on average, only 40% of Americans trust mass media. And the decrease has progressed since the mid-2000s. The re-election of George W. Bush hammered public trust from 54% in 2003 to 44% in 2004. Both ABC News and CBS News have siblings in the Obama administration.
CBS News President David Rhodes and ABC News President Ben Sherwood, both of them have siblings that not only work at the White House, that not only work for President Obama, but they work at the NSC on foreign policy issues directly related to Benghazi.
And no one batted an eye after former White House press secretary Jay Carney.
It's not because I'm a paragon of virtue. It's because that would be a terrible way to do the job.
Who repeatedly pushed false talking points to the American public and is married to an ABC senior correspondent, is now to be a trusted voice on CNN.
You know, facts are stubborn things, Mr. Carney.
Senator, I understand that you present the facts that you believe are true based on the argument that you've made
for a long time, sir.
The Los Angeles Times reported that young people spend an average of 200 hours per month watching media. So why would trust decline?
We mustn't be caught by surprise by our own advancing technology. I would feel it's being used too much to distract everybody all the time. But I mean, imagine, which must be the situation in all communist countries, where the television, where it exists, is always saying the same thing the whole time, is always driving along. It's not creating a wide front of distraction. It's creating a one-pointed drumming in of a single idea by bypassing the sort of rational side of man and appealing to his subconscious and his deeper emotions and his physiology even, making him actually love his slavery.
Currently, six corporations feed the public 90% of all the collectivized info it has to offer. For example, the lurid details of Stephen Collins' child molestation investigation are repeatedly broadcast across the media landscape. While reports of 418 North Carolina children being raped by illegal aliens in 1 month goes unreported, what matters most to the American people means very little to a politicized culture in the White House. It's an election year after all. The disengaged Obama administration's assumption that public perception is under controlled manipulation only adds fuel to the downward spiral of trust contained in the Gallup poll numbers. In the words of Abraham Lincoln, you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. John Baum, InfoWars.com.
I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com. Now, Wednesday, Marine Corps Air Station New River held a full-scale pandemic outbreak drill where health officials and Marines responded to a smallpox outbreak there aboard the installation. Now, what they did is they named this, they called it Exercise Vigilant Response. It was a drill for the first of its kind, and from what they know, it's the largest drill of that kind for an outbreak done by the Marine Corps. They decided to use this as a way to incorporate by administering inoculations. So they had about 1,200 flu shots on hand, and what they did is they had Marines come in, they had the Navy corpsmen set up like there was an outbreak, and they lined all these Marines up and had them come in single file line and administer the shot. Well, when I was in the Army, I had to go through something similar to that. I was brought into a large auditorium, and we would be called up, filed into a single file, and be forced to take these shots. I know there's got to be a lot of Marines out there that refuse to take the shots as well, like I did. I remember, for one instance, I went up there and I said, you know, I don't want to take this. I don't know what's in this, and the times that I've had to take it before, I feel very sick, I feel lightheaded, and then I end up being out of the fight. I'm not able to work. So it's one of those things that's just crazy how they push these vaccines on soldiers because they know you took an oath, and you sign that dotted line, and they have a way to test different things on you. You know, with the Ebola outbreak, they're testing all these experimental drugs, and they're not working out. So it's scary that our government uses Marines, sailors, Army, soldiers, all that stuff as a tool to test out these vaccinations to eventually push them out into the regular public. Well, a lot of people don't know what's in the flu shot. So I'm going to show you really quick, and I'm going to tell you what's in it, and then the side effect of that actual ingredient. Now, with egg proteins, that can include avian containment viruses. The gelatin can also cause allergic reactions, and anaphylaxis are usually associated with sensitivity to egg or gelatin. Polysorbit 80 can cause severe allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, which is also associated with infertility in female mice. This is something they're shooting into your arm or making you sniff up your nose. Formaldehyde, Triton X100, a strong detergent, resin, all this stuff, mercury, metals. This is mind-blowing, the things that they're forcing us to take. They use this drill as a beard to make it seem like it's more fun and we're doing something to prepare in case an outbreak happens. So it kind of helps ease the Marines, I guess, into making themselves feel like, okay, this is for a good cause. But really, in actuality, it's something that's going to harm you. And so this is just another crazy way that our government is forcing these vaccinations on you. Know what the vaccinations are. Know what's in them before you take them. You don't have to take them as a civilian. You're not forced to do this stuff. Know what you're able to do and do it. Don't give your children random things like this. A kid could have Ebola and have contact with a patient who is known to have it and be allowed to go around school for a while until he shows signs or symptoms. But if your child refuses, or you as a parent refuse to let your child take a flu shot, he's not allowed to come into school. So this is a huge issue to look at. So be informed and stay on top of this stuff. Once again, I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com.
It's Paul Joseph Watson with a PrisonPlanet.tv special report earlier today on InfoWars.com. We had a blockbuster story about how the CDC was secretly detaining and disappearing suspected illegal aliens with illnesses potentially from West Africa. And we're going to talk to a Border Patrol veteran, 27-year veteran, Zach Taylor, on these bombshell revelations. 3 months ago, 4 months ago, you gave this interview regarding illegals being apprehended at the border with illnesses. Just elaborate on what you said in that interview about how authorities there at the border are dealing with these individuals.
Well, the first thing is that a large number of these aliens, if not exclusively, were not from Mexico. They were from Central America. And a percentage of them were unaccompanied minors. Those two things were unusual. And the numbers, it was like an invasion where the agents suspected they were catching, I heard anything from less than 10% of what they saw to as much as 20% of what they saw. But that doesn't take into account the aliens that slipped through that were not seen. So if they were catching about 20% maximum of what they saw, they might have been seeing 1 or 2% of what was actually coming through. What actually came in is unknown. However, what they were encountering and apprehending, some of these people had obvious illnesses, such as shivering-type fever. They were nauseous or vomiting and or had diarrhea.
We've had reports of hundreds of Liberians crossing into the border, many that remain unapprehended. Do you think it's a concern that some of these surge aliens with these illnesses could be, in future, maybe potential Ebola victims that we're importing into the United States at risk to the population of America?
And it was very difficult to get any information about these people at that time. But it was at a time when the Ebola outbreak in those three West African countries was burgeoning, and these people either came through or were from West Africa and were seen in the Rio Grande Valley, and some of them were transported to Nogales. Well, those people were released into the population in America. A lot of these screening and releases were happening in like 5 to 6 days. The incubation period between the time a person contracts Ebola until they show symptoms is anywhere from 2 to 21 days. Well, if they traveled from Africa through Mexico to the United States in 5 days, they were held in detention 5 days. They were essentially halfway through the incubation period until they showed any type of symptoms of having the Ebola virus. That was a big concern to us, that they weren't held long enough to determine whether or not they were carrying the virus. And one of the reasons that I went on and did that video, that was 5 hours plus of video. What you saw was only clips out of it.
Okay, so some of these people that were detained with the illnesses, do you know of any information you know, towards the fact whether the people detaining them had any protection, whether that be hazmat suits or merely surgical masks. Were the people who detained these individuals protecting themselves against possible infection?
No, but we have lacking empirical evidence. We know that at Lackland Air Force Base and at other locations, that the private security and the government was threatening the contract workers, the health workers, with criminal prosecution if they divulged any information about the types of illnesses that these aliens had that were being screened at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio.
This, of course, was back in July and August. Do you believe that this process in the aftermath of the first Ebola outbreak in the United States is still ongoing?
Well, why wouldn't it be?
So that's still ongoing at the border. People with illnesses, potentially from West Africa, being transported into the United States, and the government has a lockdown on the information pertaining to that. That's an amazing revelation there. Another comment that you made in the interview, which interested me, you said that the spread of Ebola in the West African cities back 3-4 months ago appeared to suggest that the origins of the virus may have been man-made, or that it may have been planted, in your words. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. And I had been watching that because this surge was underway, and I knew that illegal aliens are opportunists. And whenever you have a large group of people moving across the border, it encourages other people. It's kind of a stampede mentality people get that, oh, they see a whole bunch of other people doing it, and they've always wanted to do it, so why don't they join in on the stampede? And West Africa is not that far from McAllen, Texas, by aircraft. And so in talking to people that were working these folks and seeing the ones that were showing up here, obviously they were from West Africa. And we hear that the Border Patrol, as early as this past week, or as late as this past week, has been catching people from Africa. Eritrea, I think, is the one that was mentioned today. But I'm more concerned about what's not being apprehended. For instance, the agents for the last 3 years have been telling us here in this part, Tucson sector, that they estimate they're catching less than 3% of what they know is crossing the border illegally. Well, if they're catching one or two or three people from West Africa, how many actually crossed?
That's amazing.
If they caught three, and they're averaging for the last 3 years 3% of what crosses, what actually came across?
And
the CDC refuses
to seal the border. They refuse to block the flights despite all these concerns. What do you think about the sanity of that decision on behalf of the CDC to refuse to take action at the border or at blocking the flights coming in from West Africa?
Well, I think it's a political decision. Let me tell you why. Back on October the 2nd, there was a White House briefing. The DHS spokesperson's name, I believe, was Lisa Monaco. And Sylvia Burwell, who's the current Secretary of Health and Human Services, were, along with USAID Director Dr. Rod Shaw. And they were talking about it wasn't worth adversely affecting the economy of these West African nations by quarantining the borders of those countries. Well, exactly who are they representing? Are they representing the people of West Africa and their economy, or are they out to protect the people of the United States? When you have the spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security, Dr. Tony Fauci from the National Institute of Health, Sylvia Burwell from Health and Human Services saying, no, we're not going to do everything to protect the American people at the risk of the economy of three third world African nations. That, sir, is an invitation for people to continue to come here illegally.
And then we've got another issue which I wanted to get to, which is ISIS. We've got law enforcement sources down on the border saying that ISIS militants are in Mexico planning cross-border attacks. Yet again, the DHS says basically there's no threat whatsoever. They're not going to do anything about it. Do you believe that the ISIS threat is genuine coming from the border, and what should we do about it?
I believe Duncan Hunter went public yesterday or day before saying that he had information that has yet to be refuted that Border Patrol caught 10 ISIS fighters crossing the border since the 29th of last month.
So you think that is a very real threat that's not being addressed, that ISIS militants are in place, as we got from the law enforcement sources?
Look. If they're only catching 3% of what's coming across, why wouldn't they try it?
Exactly. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. Amazing revelations there. We'll be sure to have more articles going up on Infowars.com about these revelations of Zach Taylor of the National Association of Border Patrol Officers. Thanks for joining us today, Zach Taylor.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv. Live streaming of the Alex Jones Show, special reports, videos, a plethora of multimedia content, and it supports the operation here at InfoWars. Subscribe today at prisonplanet.tv. That's going to wrap it up today. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. We'll see you again next time.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water.
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.